Hello, how are you doing? I'm Hattie Ashdown. This is the Funny Mummies podcast, which is also part of the Other Woman show on Soho Radio. We've almost made it, mums and dads, and anyone else that listens. We've almost made it to the end of the year. Yes, we do have dads listen to the show. How else do you think they know what's going on? I'm so excited to tell you about today's show. This is another episode in our TV Mum series, and following on from having Tanya Moody on the show from the hit sitcom Motherland, we were so excited to nab a chat with one of the co-writers, Holly Walsh. Holly is an award-winning comedian, writer and mum of two. Somebody that I was definitely inspired by when I started out in stand-up, where she went to win Best Newcomer, Chortle Award, an Edinburgh Comedy Award nominee. She's been on Live at the Apollo, QI, basically, you know, all the panel shows. So when you've done it all, you co-write a hit sitcom along with Sharon Hogan, Graham Linehan and Helen Linehan. Also this summer, Holly's new sitcom, which she wrote and directed, came out this summer called The Other One, about a guy who, when he dies, leaves two families that didn't know each other existed. But she tells us more about that in our chat. It was just such a really lovely, natural, silly talk, a real fun chat. We talked about motherhood, of course, and how she's always wanted an entourage, and we can't wait to join her on the bus full of Yorkshire tea. But you'll have to listen to find out what that's about. Here's me and Holly's new BFF, Gemma Beagley, in today's show. Put the kettle on and enjoy. This is the Funny Mummies podcast, the podcast for people that hate parenting podcasts. I'm Hattie Ashdown, comedian, writer, actress and mother to two very lively boys. Each show, I'm joined by funny mummies from the world of comedy, arts and everyone who can help us in this crazy world of parenting. So settle in as we find the funny side of parenting and being bloody great women. So, Holly Walsh, thank you very much for joining us on Funny Mummies.
Thank you for having me.
We finally got you.
Woo-hoo.
We've got you. And we've got Gemma Beagley, of course. So, before you say anything, I always explain this, is that when you're a mum, a lot of the time you don't get to finish a conversation, do you? Hardly, you'll see friends and you never really get to know someone. So we just do this as a little thing to get to know you at the beginning. You know, hold tight. It's pretty highbrow. Okay. Number one, proper evening meal or an early night?
Early night.
Early night. You'll forego the meal. Okay. Number
two. I don't
get
enough sleep. I need as much sleep.
Sorry, I should say, no judgment.
No, I get a lot of food and I do not get a lot of sleep. So I'd really rather just have a good sleep.
Yeah. Yeah. Number two, organised toys or cluttered happy chaos?
Organised toys.
Oh, good. Okay, you're in a rush. Do you have a stand-up wash? You might not even know what that is.
I know what a stand-up wash is.
Or
don't
a
judge
wet
me.
I'm judging. I'm like, oh, she's far too posh. She won't know what a stand-up wash is.
I know what a stand-up wash is.
Or a wet wipe down.
Stand-up wash.
Good girl. Gemma's looking at me like, where did you get these questions from this week? Okay, I'm trying to go a bit Motherland inspired now. Your last one, you're a new mum. You're on a new mum. Oh my God, I can't read my own writing. You're on a new mum mate play date. Are you the first one to suggest wine o'clock?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Always.
Even if it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
That is wine o'clock.
Yeah.
As late as two? Yeah, sure.
So did you, because I had to leave, my husband was away and it was quite last minute, I had a filming thing and I had to go to, I think it was sitters.com or something, and it actually wasn't until I was at the job in the makeup chair and the makeup artist went, So you've just left your baby with someone you've only met 5 minutes before you went. And I went, oh yeah. But at the time I was so like, I've got a job. Bye.
Yeah. I have to say the first few months of having my oldest son, I actually had some brilliant sort of recommended ladies, you know, a very lovely older lady called Yvonne, who's become like a proper mate of mine now, but she would come with me to all my recordings with the baby and just sit in the green room while I, you know, would do like QI or whatever. And then, so that's been always what I've just done, is take people with me. Right. If I don't know them, then I'll usually go, will you drive to wherever the studio is with me and help me? And then usually you do get to know them.
That's a good idea.
Genuinely, it's a bit more, I think it's probably more stressful for you because you're still going on, you know, going to do your work and worrying that your baby's, you can almost hear your baby screaming.
Yes. But
it's actually much easier just to leave them screaming in, you know, Lewisham while you're filming in Westminster. You can't hear them screaming from that far. But that, you know, that's what I did. I just took the baby with me and a nice lady.
That's true. I've done both. Yeah, I've had my little one when, because you know, I took over Lou Supporters Club, the Screaming with Laughter.
Yeah.
And as he was getting back, because the idea with that is that parents, you know, can bring their babies, but up to one. And he was getting a bit like, he's starting to walk around now and I can't just get somebody to push him in a pram while I go on stage. So, yeah, I paid someone to look after him in the green room. But like you say, it's not quite the same as like...
But I've always really wanted an entourage. So I feel like this is the first step towards that.
Have you?
Yeah. Oh. So taking a babysitter with me to recordings is kind of like... as close to it get as you get to like a lady in waiting.
So you'd like makeup, clothes.
I just want to. I want a hype man. I want.
Yeah.
I want somebody. I want security.
Trunk on wheels that you have that's got stuff in it that has to come with you.
A like trunk on wheels. Exactly.
A trunk on wheels. Some sort of trailer. Yeah.
A trailer. Yeah. Some sort of really expensive bus. Tour bus, you know, that'd suit me. I'd like all that. Well, some childhood friends who just hang out for no reason to keep me grounded.
Well, Holly Walsh, I think you're going to get that wish the way you're going.
I think I'm taking you two with me wherever we go.
Yeah!
I'm going to say deal with. I'll say deal with my people, and we'll all turn up with our our Yorkshire Golden, our Le Creuset, and our oat milk. Sorry, we're really specific about tea.
We will not drink that. Sorry.
We were, for the benefit of the podcast, we were talking off air about our favourite tea. That is the sort of background, backstage chat that you have missed, our favourite tea. And I think Gemma and Holly have sort of fallen in love a little bit. They didn't even ask me what my favourite tea was. They just like, once they got that bond, they were like, I love that tea too.
I know. But the truth is, that's what it's all about, isn't it? Meeting other mums through other mums and then getting rid of the mums you don't really like.
I'm joking, Betty.
This is the trouble doing this podcast now, Holly. Is like, I used to say a lot of things I probably shouldn't have said about mums, but now like I'm like also going, don't know my podcast, and he's like, oh, but I don't want them in case I speak about them. But but so Harold, because I'm going to get reference to what sort of we're dealing with, how old are your kids? Are they at school?
I've just got one who just started school this September in the strangest sort of conditions that a kid can start school, you know, lockdown school. So I'd only been to the school once. I literally had been there once before he started there, and I don't know what his classroom looks like.
Oh no!
I met his teacher briefly at the school gate. It's so weird. It's so strange. And then I have a daughter who's two, so I've got a 2 and a 5 year old.
You're so similar. Mine are 2 and 5, but my oldest he's the young of the year, so he actually started school last year. But I sort of feel like, you know, bless him. It's hard when you're the youngest. He's really it's like now feels like he's properly started, I must admit, you know. Like,
yeah, yeah.
So, yeah. Oh, wow.
They must be exhausted. They must be so tired when they're that little, starting a new year. I always think it's just the exhaustion level. The difference between being nearly just four and just five is so huge.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, but... happy to get them off though. You know, when they go, oh, do you want to? Well, you can hold them back a year. I'm like, oh, I think actually it might be better for him if he goes, actually.
and me. Just think how much I'll learn if he goes a year early.
I remember seeing this mum on like TVAM or something, and she was sort of doing campaigning about, you know, if you want to hold your child back for a year, if you feel like, I'm just like, oh, get off.
If I want to send my child to boarding school at four, I shall send my child to boarding school at four, and there's nobody's going to judge me for that. Thank you very much.
I was thinking about this in the shower this morning. The sort of thing I think about is Holly Walsh at boarding school. Because you went to boarding school, and I was thinking, it's in a way, like, so I was thinking, oh, shall I ask if she would send her kids to boarding school? And then I was thinking, well, they've got it all wrong with boarding school. You've got to send them, because that's the years they start. They can bloody dress themselves when they're going to boarding school. So like, I want to send them off at like two and come back at seven. Like, it's the wrong way round, isn't it?
You're absolutely right. I wanted them. Yeah, we should have just dropped them off straight out of a hospital, and then we all get our first child when they're like eight.
Well, yeah, I guess that's having a nanny, isn't it? Really, if you're lucky enough,
or a wet nurse,
or a night nurse,
or a night nurse.
Night nurse. Just sleep through it. Just get on the night nurse.
So you're rubbing your eyes there, are you? Because so two the 2-year-old is a girl, is that right?
Yeah, girl. Yeah.
So is she sleeping through the night?
She does sleep through the night. She's great. She's really good.
Hooray!
She didn't used to, but this time around, now she's two. She's like she's very clued up as to. We've got these. We're obsessed with these. What are they called? What are those? Oh, grow clocks.
Grow clocks. Oh, yes.
Our life
yes.
Our sleep revolves around grow clocks. So really? Then at like 7 a.m. when the grow clock comes up, my son goes, I'm awake! Like that. He shouts it from another room. It's the most horrific way to wake up in the morning. It's like a horror film. I'm awake! And my daughter started copying him. I'm awake! It's just so creepy.
And you want to go, I'm not.
I'm so scared.
Oh, I always say, actually, it's like sometimes it's not so much for getting you up early. It's just the abruptness, isn't it?
The way.
It's
like, if they came in and went, I'm so sorry. But I found myself awake and I wondered if you could take me downstairs for some Weetabix. You'd be like, okay, that's quite reasonable, but I'm awake. So creepy.
That's so creepy.
Do you ever worry that your children are creepy?
I think they're just all creepy, aren't they, a little bit?
The way that kids can sometimes just appear, you know, like you don't see them approaching and then you just turn and they're there. Yeah, I find that.
Because they're so...
The scariest bit of The Exorcist for me, right, the film The Exorcist, right, is where it's not all the head turning and all that stuff. It's the... where she just at the beginning, she just appears downstairs and just wets herself like that.
But we've all had that.
Just the kid turning up.
We've all experienced that on a weekly level, surely.
What, our kids or ourselves?
Oh, a bit of both, I think. Put me on a trampoline and that's me all over.
Yeah.
Oh, don't. Aww, I really want to get it. I'm so fed up with it. I was doing a Zoom dance class the other day and I think they saw me nip out because I had to go and, you know, change.
Oh, God.
It's just, I'm just lazy with my pelvic floors. But no, we're going through he's just started, the 5-year-old, he's just started to, he's been so good at going to bed. I have to say, you know, we've had lots of other troubles, but going to bed, he's been really good. But he's just starting to discover that, oh, mummy and daddy stay up. And he's starting to do that, like seeing his little face appear at the top of the stairs and watch what we're watching. Does any of yours, because ours are six.
Yeah,
we're
definitely on that. I remember being a kid and my parents going downstairs and my parents shouting at me, "Go back to bed, it's grown-up time," like that. I remember it so clearly, being shouted, "It's grown-up time," and I am literally now so defensive of my grown-up time that if a child comes anywhere near the stairs, I'm like, "It's grown-up time," because it's so traumatic when a child comes down and you think you've put it to bed. You've earned your evening, you think, "I have earned this. This is ready for it," and then this child resurfaces. God.
Because you've done the routine. Do you do all like a routine?
Yeah, we're very routiney.
Yeah.
But that's not, we're not routiney people at all, me and my husband. But we are lucky enough to have a nanny, which has been the best thing ever, because I'm away filming for like sections of the year.
I think if you're filming and stuff, it's a must.
I just can't, I'm like, we're so lucky that we can have a nanny and I absolutely love it. And I absolutely think it's the best money I've ever spent. Subletting my parenting to another adult, but I also think that,
but if you don't know when you're going to finish on jobs and stuff, I think
I never get home before, you know, like for half the year I'm at home all the time, which is the best, and then the other half the year I'm like in Manchester or somewhere else doing filming and stuff, and like all I want for my kids is consistency, so that they they know when they get up, they know when they go to bed, like there's just rules that are like clear, not because we're strict people, but because they just are happier when they know sort of like that they're having a bath and then they're having a book and then they're going to bed and
it's
whatever.
Security.
So
it's safety and
the security, exactly. Yeah. So we've always been quite sort of strict with like routines, because it just means that if I'm not there, or my husband works in telly as well, if he's not there, then somebody else can keep to the same routine and then they're not thrown at all and all that sort of stuff. But I mean, I'm like, know how lucky I am and how insanely brilliant our amazing nanny is. So like,
That's
the dream.
That's the dream.
I mean, the dream is to be able to be at home with your children all the time. But the second best dream is that.
Is it though? Do you not think? and I will get onto the topic of the show in a minute. Do you not think that it's about? Because I was thinking about this recently. That, you know, the old balance thing. My friend is an actress. She's been back filming. Something, and she hasn't done anything for ages, and she went, "Oh, it's just so good to have a bit of me," you know, she's on set and everything. So
I think it is balanced, but I don't know. It is so important to have your own space and time and mind and everything like that. Drop my phone. But it's also so I don't know, I miss them so much when I'm away and I find it really hard. So I guess you're never happy. I guess the beauty about being a mother is you're never happy.
And then you'll be on set and you'll be like, "I feel guilty because I should be at home."
So, yeah, I live in a perpetual sense of guilt. and then when I'm with them and I want to look at my phone, I feel guilty. It's just guilt, isn't it?
Because that's what being a mum is, I think.
Just high levels of guilt and then overwhelming feelings of love. Overwhelming waves of love and guilt. That sums up my childhood.
And that's your album. Years. That's your album, quite awfully, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's your book.
So when you're away, Holly, do you have contact with the kids? Do you FaceTime?
My kids are too little to FaceTime. They just get a bit. It throws them a bit. They're a little bit. I think when they're a bit older, it'll be great because you can sort of have a chat and you can sort of, they kind of understand it. And I mean, the 2-year-old has no idea what's going on. She just picks it up and walks off with it and then hangs up. And I think the 5-year-old, he sort of understands it, but also you inevitably end up FaceTiming at the end of the day when everyone's sort of trying to get their life back together and get to bed and stuff. And everyone's a bit tired and emotional on both sides. So I do try and sort of FaceTime. If I'm away for a long time, then I will always try and FaceTime them a few times, you know, during the week, and then have a proper good chat at the weekend. But I think technology is amazing, and it's also all right to admit that it doesn't necessarily help you, and it's sort of easier to let everyone get on with it a bit. And I'm not saying that in a like washing my hands of child, responsibility. But I think forcing kids to use FaceTime can sometimes be a bit more upsetting than. But you just want them to love it. You want them to love it, and you want to talk to them. And you miss them so much, and you're so desperate for them to. And then it just always feels a bit sort of depressing at the end of it when you go, well, they didn't really seem to enjoy that. And I definitely couldn't understand what anyone was saying. And
it just stresses them out, doesn't it?
Exactly.
I do like, sometimes I've done like little, I mean, it's been a long time, but like a little video. I'd send a little video and then my husband would get them to send a little video back. And that's quite.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
They quite like that because then they keep watching it.
That is a really good idea because we do that with other. During lockdown, we've done that a lot with our friends, sending little videos to each other. That is a really good idea. I don't know why I didn't think of that.
So we're doing this series on TV mums, and let's just kick it off with some of your favourites. Let's talk about some of your favourites.
Okay. Roseanne.
Roseanne. Good choice.
Brilliant TV mum. I like messed up TV mums. I like flawed TV mums.
Okay, that's gonna be my next question. Okay, you're like Gemma. She's gone for.
Do you like perfect mums?
It's been a mixture, but there's been a lot of comfort mums. So the mum.
He's a comfort mum.
Like from Darling Buds and May.
Oh, good choice.
I like basically a lot of the time any mums that Alison Steadman seems to play. I do think, you know, Pamela. I know she's. Might not think she's a comfort mum, but she is to me, because when you go round there, it's like she'll make, I've got everything under control. It's like, I put a little bit of food on and you sit there and I put, you know what I mean? She's got, so I think it's, yeah, maybe it's just under control.
Well, your mum, I think your mum was perfect in your eyes, right? So I wonder.
Yeah, but she wasn't like Pamela. She was.
No, she was a great mum.
Yeah,
who wasn't flawed in your eyes at all. So I wonder if that's what.
No, do you not think in hindsight, as an adult, you look at how your parents parented and you go, oh, they were also like me. They were just making it up as they went along. Because I definitely see that in my mum now in a really nice way that I don't think, oh, you have. I think, oh, I had a brilliant upbringing, and then I think, and my mum didn't know everything. So that kind of gives me some hope that I can do that for my child rather than definitely not a perfect mum.
See, I've say forgive my mum like I hate her. It's not true. But where I go, oh, okay, yeah, this is actually quite difficult. It's actually quite difficult being a parent. So I kind of get it. I kind of get it why she was just seems to be moaning all the time, you know. And so actually I kind of love my mum more.
me and John, my husband, before we had kids, we went on the Emirates Skyline thing, the thing that goes over the Thames, what are they called? Not sky cars. What's the name
of it? Ski lift.
Yes. Okay. It's not a ski lift because I don't think you go skiing.
It's a box, you sit in a box. The cable cars.
Frightening what it sounds like. I've seen them and I was like, no, thank you.
So we were queuing up to go on it. It must have been about 2012. And there was this dad in front of us with two kids. And he was going, Billy, you've ruined the day, Billy. You've totally ruined the day. And he was just moaning onto this child going, we brought you out for a lovely day and you've ruined it, Billy. You're an absolute idiot, Billy. Right? So like just going on and on at this kid, right? And me and John, for years afterwards, before we had kids, every time one of us would do anything remotely wrong, we'd go, oh, Billy, you've ruined the day, Billy. You've absolutely ruined it. And then we were going, wow, that guy was moaning, wasn't it? And now I've got two kids. The amount of times I've taken them out for some sort of like treat and they've just behaved terribly. And I've been like, why are you doing this? You're ruining it. You're ruining the day. It's supposed to be a lovely day. I'm like, that poor guy. Damn. I see that man in a completely different light now. I'm like, that poor bloke with two kids and they were just being total assholes. They ruined it. He spent all this money to take them on the ski lift over the Thames.
And that's just it though, isn't it? I think a lot of, we've talked a bit, like just to bring you up to speed, so we've talked a bit about bread and we've talked a lot about typical, I call it typical mums, where it's sort of like you got the archetypal, you know, the sort of like head of the family mum. But I feel like, and this is not me bum licking, before Motherland, we didn't really have a show that was just all about mums. And I think
in a lot of ways, Roseanne was sort of, I guess it was a family show and the kids were really included in it. I mean, what we did in Motherland, which was actually Graham Linehan's idea when right at the beginning, was to never see the kids. Like, just literally, you see the top of their heads running through shot, or maybe that you just.
That was a conscious thing. It was like, right, okay.
So the kids are sort of like the least important person in the show, and it's all about all the stuff that you talk about with your friends when your kids are just out of earshot.
This week's free sponsor spot is by East London Potter and Mum Emily. Here she is to tell you more about what she does.
I'm a mum to two awesome boys and I'm a potter. I work from a shed in my East London garden making ceramic homewares, which include candlesticks, oil burners, baking dishes and my most popular, egg cups. Who doesn't love a boiled egg with soldiers? I've just launched an Etsy page with another mum friend selling our work called East London Pottery. You can also find me on Instagram at Emily Merritt Ceramics.
Thank you to Emily there. If you'd like to take a look at her lovely work, find her on Etsy under East London Pottery. And don't forget, if you'd like to be featured as a free sponsor on the show, we're all about bigging up other small businesses, particularly women, of course, contact us via screamwithlaughter.com.
The thing that after one, after watching the first episode of Motherland, Holly, was that Anna Maxwell Martin's character is so unlikable. And yet I could relate to her so much, just actually that, but she's so unlikable, and I was just like, I want to watch more of this. Like, it was quite confusing for me, because I'd absolutely loved it, but I thought she was just
hate watching her, or was it that you would not want to hang out with her?
Oh no, I would. She's my friend. Like, she's me and she's my friends. But she's very flawed.
But aren't we all?
Yes, no, of course. But I mean, but I just hadn't seen that before.
We hadn't seen that.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd seen the caricature, you know, the Edina and you know, Ma Boswell and just that kind of the taken to the extremes for comedic effect. But here was a group of women.
We're not really knowing what they feel like, are we? We didn't really know what that they feel like. I think
no.
They're just. I don't know, they just sort of moan a bit, but yeah.
I think on Gavin and Stacey, you sort of get an idea what the parents are going through. Like, they do a really good job on sort of letting you into that. The mums aren't just these sort of like matriarchs who just sort of float around. Like, I really like Gavin and Stacey for like just a great family show, you know. And I think when we were writing ours, we were really consciously trying to not just, nothing ever really resolves, or there's never a feeling of like, but isn't this great? It really isn't. It is just relentless, you know. That's the truth of parenting though, isn't
it?
Like, the highs are high and the lows are low, and there's just no sort of like, I think that's something we always tried to write, was just something which just sort of that, like, you do have those moments where you hug your kids and go, this is incredible, and we all have that, and it's the best thing in the whole world. But also, it isn't really about that. Our show isn't really about that. It's about the sort of, it's how you interact with other parents, and so you sort of have to take for granted the nice bits, that she loves her kids and she gives them big hugs, because the rest of it is not really, that's not really what we're looking at. It's sort of like a workplace comedy, I suppose, but the workplace is
school gates,
being parents, the work,
and that's just it. Other sitcoms have tied it up with a bow at the end, isn't it? It's like, well, we've got to show that they do love the kids and stuff, and that's what's great. You're being brave enough to say, well, it is relentless, and of course you know that they love their kids.
Yeah, I think that I always think that sort of like we just take for granted that they love their kids. Of course they love their kids. You know, that's not what we're you know, the majority of parents really love their kids. So we're just sort of allowing that to be said without having to show it all the time.
Yeah. And I think the whole mum mate culture thing is still relatively new, I think. I might be wrong, but I know my mum, she didn't really have mum mates.
Yeah, really?
She had like one friend, I think, that she might have made, I can't ask her now, but I think at the playgroup, I think me and they went to the playgroup, and this other little girl went to playgroup. But other than that, it wasn't like a gang, I don't think. But maybe that was just my mum, I don't know. But
yeah,
and my sisters didn't either. But some of that's because my sisters had each other, like my sisters are older than me, and they had kids the same age.
We set it in London, which was kind of a conscious decision because in a sense, well, I think it's a conscious decision, maybe it wasn't, but it did end up being in London. But one thing I think that's useful about setting it in a big city is that a lot of people move to a big city, so they don't have their mums and dads nearby, and they don't have their like school friends nearby, and there isn't like this community that you were brought up in. And so I think somewhere like where I live in Southeast London, there's not a load of people who are here from here, born and bred. Mm. And so you end up really making great firm friendships with people who live near you because you don't have your extended family to hand. And it sort of worked really well from that point of view, because I mean, certainly for me, my safety net is all other mums because my parents don't live here. And, you know,
right,
I don't have
to ask that. Are they...
Yeah. You know, so like I now have like a real team of friends who I rely on who aren't family, who are people in the same boat as me. And in that sense, I think that's why a city is a good place to write a sitcom like that, because you don't have anyone to fall back on. And actually in our show, we do have the main character, Juliet, does have her mum to hand. Like, her mum is there, but her mum is like also,
she's not helpful,
just wants to get on with her life. But that's what I think I'm going to be like that when I get to, you know, retirement age.
Do you reckon?
A bit of me is going to be like, I just want to go and like travel and
have
lunches and all that stuff.
This is me and my mum. Like, my mum is
you and your mum, Jenna.
I will look after your child, but bring him to me and you'll be back within 40 minutes. You know, it's like, okay, don't worry about it. It's not helpful.
Yeah.
You enjoy your retirement.
Well, yeah. I've had friends that have moved. So they moved out of London thinking they'll go back home to wherever that was out of London. And then their mum's actually ending up not being as much help as they thought. But they promised these things. But I think it's a combination of what you said. Like they're like, I better not say, because she's a mutual friend of ours, Holly. And if you mind, I'll be saying on air, so I won't say it. But I'll say it's like, I've got a hair appointment, you know, I've got a hair appointment then, so I can't do it then. It's like, no, this is not what I bought into.
I think that's because our parents are A, you know, baby boomers, so they've got everything they ever wanted on a plate for their entire lives. they got free hips. They got free bus passes.
They got three houses. Yeah.
They got three houses because you could afford to buy them in those days. They're absolutely loving it. No, but I don't think that. I think, though, that, you know, they work hard. They retire and, you know, generally they're all healthier and fitter and sort of younger. And, you know, they didn't have to scrub steps and live through wars and stuff like that. So they're generally quite kind of... They're up for it. They want a good life, and I totally get that, because I don't think I want to babysit when I'm 65.
No. Although I have said to my husband, I said, please, let's in writing write it down somewhere that we will have, if they have children, we will have them overnight. You know,
do you know what? That's so funny you say that, because that's exactly me and my husband have lay in bed and we said, we have to remember this, that when we have children, and no, when our children have children, we will say to them, you have a lie-in and we'll get up at 6 with the kids. Just once in a while. You two just lie next to each other. Imagine lying next to your husband or partner until 8:30 in the morning.
Oh, can't imagine it.
I don't even remember what that's like.
Well, especially at the moment. I mean, there's... no one can look after the kids.
That's why you need to fuck up your marriage and separate like I did, because I had I was laying in bed watching your sitcom, Holly, until 9:30 this morning.
So oh, there you God. Go. You're absolutely right.
This is what she did, so because he's like, sad.
Exactly.
Which I've got loads of other questions, but I'm keeping a check of the time. Which brings me, Gemma mentioned, I wanted to, because coincidentally, the other one which you wrote, which came out, was it June, July this year?
I can't remember. It was sometime during lockdown, but I don't think any of us have any real grasp on time anymore. So
I know, but first of all, congratulations.
I think the leaves were green when it came out, so it was sometime.
Yeah.
Before the winter.
But it's so good, Holly. That one's on your own, yeah?
I wrote it with my friend Pippa.
Not Pippa Evans, no.
No, another Pippa. Oh.
The other
Pippa. Because there's only two in the world. Not that Pippa, the other one. Yeah.
Okay. but oh my god, I'm sure you are so bored of this, but I'm gonna be another one wherever you read the right synopsis and go, oh, I know two people who had a similar thing.
So you knew people whose dad had another family, because the kind of the premise of it is that a man dies and his daughter finds out she's got another sister that she didn't know about.
But these are mums too. This is writing about. I mean, that's not the main premise of this one, obviously. But two very different mums in this one, obviously. Yeah. But I love them. I love them both.
One's a sort of square, sort of middle class southern mum, and the other's a very sort of like laissez-faire, very liberated northern
yeah mom. Just love it that she's just sort of relaxed about it all.
I know, like, I really want to be her. I'm definitely the square one, but I really want to be the cool, like like, you know, no boundaries lady.
Well, we just loved the scene, didn't we, when she's, sorry Gem, I think I'll keep interrupting you, where she's in the cab. That's and right. Rebecca Front's character just, you know, asking the cabbie to come in.
I was interested in the premise of it. So, did you come up with the idea that about two different families first, or was it?
No, my friend told me the story about exactly the story about a man who had two children. I think it was in the '70s. She said she used to live on the road with this guy who had turned out two families, and he'd called both his kids the same name, so that if he ever got stopped in the street and they went, "Oh, how's James?" he didn't have to.
Oh, that was the reason.
Cover up for anything. Yeah, it's a true story.
Oh my god.
Yeah, insanely clever and also awful. So I was like, that's a great start for a story. It was like a godsend. So it just felt very organic to write it. And I really, I was so lucky that when we did the pilot, we just got this most amazing cast. And then writing the series was just so nice, because they were so, they were just like, you know, it was just like the best cast I could ask for.
Yeah, amazing. Amazing. I didn't even recognise Siobhan Finnehan, is it?
Yeah, Siobhan Finnehan. She's amazing.
I didn't even recognise her. It's when I looked up and I was like, oh, bloody hell, it's her, yeah. Amazing. And again, you've written another female-heavy...
I know, I really only know how to write messed up women. It's like my go-to. Hence why I like you too, I think. But you know, it's...
but you're working, right? You're getting work.
Yeah, so... gig's a gig, isn't it? It's nice to be busy.
I did this like podcast this week, and I asked where my inspirations come from, and so I'm going to ask you that, because I thought I really kind of went, I thought, I don't know, like, it's similar to you, I think, because all I could say was like women.
Do you know what I got a lot out of this time? Songs. I've really stolen loads from songs.
I was going to say, I love the soundtrack on the other one.
Yeah, well, that song...
Very appreciated it.
That song that they sing together, I mean, I love, like, loads of different songs, but obviously. But I went through a real yacht rock phase of just listening to like Steely Dan and stuff. And I was always like shocked by how a lot of that sort of 70s sort of, you know, all that music was a lot of like men sort of wistfully talking about how I'm here tonight, but tomorrow I'm going to leave you and you'll never see me again. And I guess just that's just the kind of guy I am, you know. And I was thinking, like, what about the poor woman? She's like, you're romanticizing basically being a total twat the whole yes. time. You know, like, that's just me. I just break women's hearts and then I ride off into the sunset.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it. And there's like a whole genre of music that talks about men being total bellends. And it makes me think, I think that was a good starting point for this show, was like, what is it like to be the woman on the other end who's just been, you know, who's sort of been sucked into this, you know, you just because you think you're being this great Lothario doesn't mean to say you are. It's just your view of it, sort of thing. But all that music is like that. It's yacht rock is like 90% men screwing over women for a great song.
I know it is. It was like, oh, but I can't help it. I'm just trying to think,
what can I do? That's just me.
We've got tonight, who needs tomorrow? Like, well, that sort of stuff.
Exactly. Yeah, like, well, I need tomorrow.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. I guess I need tomorrow when you've got to drive me to the STD clinic because you're giving me some disgusting.
But yet, the women.
And then there's very little, like, that's why I think, you know, like, who sings? Fleetwood Mac. That's why Fleetwood Mac's so amazing, because you've got the most amazing women in it. But generally, it's men. It's great, easy listening songs about white guys shagging and then leaving. That just seems to be a large percentage of those, so, that music.
I'm my mind's like now just trying to think of the words are different, because I love a bit of 70, well, I love lots of it, but this lockdown, actually, the summer part, the first lockdown, you know, lockdown one, we had a bit of a 70s phase. That's always going to remind me of.
Oh, I love a bit of 70s music.
Yeah, we went a bit 70s, sort of, what you're
playing in the 70s, I can't bear it. I just find
You don't like 70s music?
You don't like Fleetwood Mac?
They're just quite difficult to look at. I just found it quite ugly.
Yeah, but that's the beauty about music. You don't have to look at it.
Yeah, you don't have to look at it.
Know, you just have to use your ears. If you're trying to see music, then I think you're in trouble. Unless you're having some sort of synesthesia where you can see the colours of a music track, then otherwise.
I love the Carpenters. They're 70s.
Well, there you go.
They're 70s, but not the. Unfortunately, if only Karen could have been like, I'm gonna fuck you and then I'm gonna ride away.
Yeah, maybe she'd still be with us. It's true.
Yeah. If she was like, I'm sorry I broke your heart, but I'm leaving town. Ooh. And you'll have to deal with that itch. Bye. That's all you're right.
Well, except she's a bit more like, oh, yeah, you're here tonight. Please stay.
Please. Yeah, she was very much like, don't leave me with this itch. This itch is really bad. Don't leave me with this itch. And then all the men are like, bye. I'm going to screw you over. Bye. With my guitar. That's 70s music in a nutshell.
That's what I call
70s. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Right, we'll start wrapping up in a minute. Not rapping, we're not going to rap.
Oh God, no.
Please don't rap. I'm not keen on rap. I feel like there was something I really wanted to ask you and now it's going to annoy me. Oh, it's not even anything important. I was just nosy to Santa. Subject, because I'm interested. This just came up this morning. Now, for anyone listening, I think this is gonna go out before Christmas, but obviously there's the talk on the WhatsApp, on my parent WhatsApp, of the seeing Santa. And
seeing Santa.
Most of the places are closed, obviously.
All right, yeah.
And if anyone's got any little ears listening, maybe turn them away now. But I don't know how you feel, but I wanted to say, look, guys, we're in a pandemic. Like, it's going to really confuse my son if suddenly we go and find somewhere. Like, they're all going, well, you can go and see him here and all about this. I'm just gonna say, we've got the virus, as he knows, we can't see him this year. And it's like, actually,
isn't that great though? Yeah, I mean, I'm not gonna lie to you. The two best things about, there's a lot of terrible, awful things about this pandemic, but one of the best things is not having to go to children's parties every weekend. That's been an absolute godsend, and we should not forget that, how lucky we are not to have had to spend every weekend, you know, these months in particular are the busiest months in soft plays and church halls. And that, yeah. Thank you for that. That's one of the few silver linings I can think of from this pandemic.
But and to be like a bit soppy for a moment, someone else said, which was, you know, like, we normally feel a lot of pressure to go and do this with their kid, and actually, it's just the pressure that you put yourself under of like, oh, I must go on the Santa train because someone took her kids on the Santa train and there's like a real reindeer and I must take them there, and actually take a bit of solace that this year,
I mean, did anyone miss not having to go trick-or-treating? Not I.
Absolutely not.
I don't do it anyway,
but no, because I had a few turn up at my door. I think I had about 7 individuals.
Can I just say that's one of my favourite episodes of Motherland, is the trick or treat one. But yeah, go on, carry on.
And one of the mothers that came with them said, oh, we've been using tongs to give the sweets. How? Like, rather than them dipping their, like, actually, they've been, so the mother would have a set of tongs, dip them into the bowl. And
but you have to be trusting that no one else has done that.
I had a grabby thing, like the long thing you pick up litter with. And I gave the kids sweets with that. Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
Oh, so hang on, I'm being the dirty bastard that didn't have a quick special PPE.
Well, you know what? I did it as more fun. The kids
sweetie PPE.
They've got wrappers. They weren't just like a bowl of like jelly sweets with no wrappers
on. Oh, right, yeah, fair enough. Like, I mean, if it was a big bowl of Maltesers, it's like, you know how they say like peanuts on bars have like 80% penile germs on them and stuff. It's the COVID equivalent. Well, yeah, no, but I didn't do it. And I was so happy not to do it. And it did make me think, God, I hate doing that.
Oh, I don't like trick-or-treating, but I like opening the door to them and scaring kids because I just like
them. Yeah, when else do you get to do that legitimately without the police being called?
So what we'll do is we'll finish up on sometimes if we get time, I like to ask if you had a child-free night, and I'm going to say that there's someone also to have them in the morning so you can lay in with your husband, where would you be going? Who would you be going with? What would you be eating?
Do you know what? Genuinely, and this is not just because we're talking about Motherland, but I was so lucky to have had just the best NCT group in the whole wide world. And I would be out for a night without my husband with my NCT friends.
Oh!
Yeah, honestly. And I'd do that in a second because they're just the most fun people to hang out with.
Oh, you're so lucky. Awesome.
Yeah, I'm really so lucky.
Sorry, I could just see Al in the corner.
Just go for the snacks.
Holly, I'm so jealous of that.
I'm just so lucky, and I feel like nothing but gratitude. But my NCT mates are like, it's a bit like school friends that you got stuck together in this sort of school year, and it just so happens that like they're just the most solid bunch of funny people I know, and they really are funny. They make me laugh more than anyone else I know. So I'd go out of those lot, and also we never get the boys from our NCT lot go out for drinks all the time, and we rarely get to go out as much as we'd like to. So I'd go out with those lot in a second.
Oh, that is so nice. I am really really jealous. I didn't. So was it like that from the off then? You all
For some reason, we were just so lucky that we just had a bunch of people who just clicked. And also we were all equally like, we all had sort of, I feel like, quite similar views about parenting, i.e., you know, we were like, if we can breastfeed, we'll breastfeed. But if we can't, whatever. And like, is everyone all right if we just text at 3 a.m. crying to say my child hasn't slept and I'm just exhausted? We were just like real. We all just had a very similar view of parenting. And now, as a result of it, sort of 5 years later, I feel like we've been through something together, and now we're a pretty tight little unit. And I'm just so, so grateful for that.
And no one's dropped off or been pushed off.
Do you know what? No, we somehow managed to keep a pretty solid group. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe maybe they're all trying to get rid of me, but I'm never leaving. I love those guys.
Oh, that has filled my heart.
Yeah, honestly, so I think it's so much of it is like who you end up with, but sometimes you can meet the best people through those sort of things.
Yeah. Well, thank you for coming on the Funny Mummies. And so to tell people what's going on next, because this will go out before Christmas, we've got the Christmas special, haven't
you? Yes, Motherland Christmas special, which we just finished. So that's coming out. I don't know when, but it's coming out somewhere around.
Before
Easter. It'll probably be Easter.
Yeah.
That should be out around Christmas, but I don't know the date.
Oh.
And then a new series of Motherland next year, which we're filming at the moment. So that's exciting. Hooray.
Oh my gosh, what can you tell us about the Christmas special? Anything?
Tania Moody is exceptional in it.
Okay.
As a member of the podcast family.
Are
she's
they
amazing.
All in their individual houses, or are we seeing something a bit different?
Well, there's no coronavirus. It's not a coronavirus. There's no.
Okay.
It's as though coronavirus never happened.
Oh, so, brilliant! We can just pretend for
yeah,
an
exactly.
hour.
The alternate reality of bad parenting, but outside of coronavirus. So that's quite exciting.
Perfect.
So yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
We'll have you back another time.
Yes, please.
Oh, yay!
And tea, but mainly I need to talk tea, please.
We'll be able to hopefully in real life, and we'll bring you a cup of tea. I know
you're
right now.
Yeah, tea in real life. Wouldn't that be nice? We could do it once the vaccine's hit, and we could live this in real life. That'd be lush.
Well, the studio I use is starting to open up, so dreams do come true.
Yes.
So mate, next year. Okay. Thanks very much. Holy
well. Thank you. Cheers. Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to the Funny Mummies podcast in association with The Other Woman Show with me, Hattie Ashdown. Thank you to Gemma Beagley and our guest today. Please see the write-up in this episode to find out how you can follow us and our guest online. This show is edited by Alex Holland, recorded via Zoom. The show also goes out on Thursdays on Soho Radio as part of The Other Woman Collective, where often you can hear the full music version of the show. If you'd like to support us and get lots of goodies, like a video version where you can see our mugs, go to Funny Mummies on Patreon, where you can buy us a coffee or maybe an hour's childcare. Thanks very much for listening. Keep subscribing and telling your friends. It really, really does help. We'll see you next time for a dose of Mum and Tonic.